As we've been discussing already this morning, the Prime Minister will sit down with state and territory leaders today at the COAG meeting in Canberra. And one of the big issues on the table is a national redress scheme for the victims of child sexual abuse. This is following the recommendations from the Royal Commission into Institutional Child Sexual Abuse. And this follows the Prime Minister's announcement in the Parliament yesterday that later this year he will deliver an apology on behalf of the Parliament to the survivors of child sexual abuse. The National Redress Scheme is due to be rolled out from the 1st of July. As we heard, though, from South Australian Premier Jay Weatherill, not all states will be 100% involved.
What we've said is that we're happy to cooperate in the establishment of a National Redress Scheme. It's just that we won't be taking the South Australian government there because, unlike other states, we already moved on this almost 10 years ago now. So we had our own Royal Commission, delivered our own apologies, set up services and, in fact, created our own redress scheme.
That's the South Australian Premier, Jay Weatherill, speaking to us earlier. James Miller was sexually abused when he was a teenager at St Pius X Catholic College in Newcastle in the 70s. James made a submission to the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse. He's also written a book about his life, which we've spoken to him about here on Breakfast before. It's called The Priests. It was published in 2016. James Miller, welcome back to RN Breakfast.
Thanks for having me here, Fran.
James, just your reaction first to the Prime Minister's announcement yesterday that he will deliver on part of the Federal Parliament an apology to the survivors of child sexual abuse.
It's a positive step forward. We've had the Royal Commission and a national apology would be an appropriate way to draw a line under it. I think it's important that it's carefully thought through. The Prime Minister talked about an apology in a form that reflects the wishes of survivors and gives them back their dignity, which was taken from them. And I note that there is strong bipartisan support for this, so that's also very encouraging. The manner in which the apology should be delivered, I would just say two things about it. One, I would think the occasion has to be one with a fair amount of positivity to it. Obviously, the tragedies of the past have to be acknowledged, but also, in addition to an apology, I think it'd be appropriate for the nation to thank the survivors, many of whom have been very inspirational and who've made it easier for many others to come forward. So with those elements in it, I think it's a very positive thing.
The Prime Minister said the apology definitely will. The wording will reflect the wishes of survivors and he's setting
Indeed.
Up a group to try and come to that. But he also said the most important message for all of us to give to the survivors in the Parliament is we believe you. As a survivor yourself, is that the most important message, James?
I think it is. One of the greatest fears that you have, certainly if you have legacy mental health problems, one of the underlying fears is that you're simply not going to be believed. And there's a lot of research that came out of the Royal Commission that points to that as being a very pressing psychological issue for survivors. So for the nation to turn around, remember this is a social tragedy. We're talking at least about 60,000 survivors, probably many more. And it is a tragedy on a social scale. All aspects of Australian society, institutions, the culture, the law, protocols, all fell short, as has been exposed by the Royal Commission. But for the nation to turn around to survivors and say, we believe you, is an important step.
Some Indigenous Australians have talked about how important the national apology to the Stolen Generation was.
Indeed.
Why is this so powerful?
It's a cultural moment. And as His Honour Justice McClellan, the chairman of the Royal Commission, properly pointed out, this really is a social tragedy that we're talking about. And there's a need to make what effort we can to turn the page on this part of our social history and to move into a future where children are better protected. One way in which we could institutionalise this for the future and make it a bit of a learning moment or even indeed a protean moment might be to tie the apology to National Children's Week, which we have in October every year. The patron is the Governor-General, Sir Peter Cosgrove, and it's the fourth Wednesday. Some events around that week, there are already celebrations at local government, state and the national level. So perhaps keying it into that event and making it an important event in the social calendar so the legacy of the Royal Commission can be carried forward. And it's all about better protecting children and young people in the future.
We heard so many stories and I think the nation, did a great a great, we owe the Royal Commission a great debt because
absolutely.
We have a greater understanding, not just those victims, but all of us have a greater understanding of indeed. The dimension of this and the impact it has on people's lives. And I guess a lot of people listening to you, you know, you're a lawyer, you went on, studied law, you're articulate, you're talking here in a very calm way, will think, well, gee, he sounds all right. But it's not as simple as that, is it? You're never all right is really part of the story you told in Priest.
Unfortunately, you're not. I mean, my formal diagnosis is complex dissociative, unfortunately, post-traumatic stress disorder, and I have to be very careful with my mental health. I have routines that I go through every morning and most evenings to keep on top of things. I have a very good psychiatrist. And for many of us, the legacy will be there for the rest of our lives. And as I've said in earlier occasions, anybody suffering from mental health effects of this really should step forward, go see their doctor and get some treatment because it really can assist. But it is an ongoing struggle that we just have to front up to and be, you know, determined to look after ourselves because we all have lives that deserve to be lived well.
And all those people around, all the people,
yeah.
So people around you, family, friends,
yeah.
lovers, all of that. Do you think that the impact of the Royal Commission will help everybody understand a little more and perhaps sort of have the waves of understanding and compassion reach out and more? That can have an effect just in itself?
Absolutely. And if I could point to one thing, one of the very important pieces of information that came from the massive research that the Commission undertook is that it does take up to 35 years for survivors to come forward. I think the average is 38 years
yeah.
before a survivor will actually come forward. And I think that puts in the public mind a very important fact which allows people to better understand why it does take so long for these matters to be disclosed and for people to get to a point where they really feel forced, they have to come forward and talk about it. And
because if you haven't suffered a trauma like this, it is hard to understand that, why it can be buried for so long. It's 13 past 8. Our guest is James Miller. James, himself a victim of sexual abuse at the hands of at least one Catholic priest at St. Pius X in Newcastle back in the 70s. He's also the author of a book called The Priest, which tells the story. An apology is a symbol. It's not a practical recommendation. The Royal
yep.
Commission came up with practical recommendations. The most obvious, the headline one, is the redress scheme. Other elements of it are counselling, paying for counselling, things like that. How important is it that we have a national redress scheme? And the terms we're talking about it at the moment, compensation capped at $150,000. From your initial look at this, James, is it good enough?
I think it is, but it's got to be understood that with the monetary compensation capped at $150,000, it's not going to suit all survivors. Some survivors have injuries and they've suffered loss that would go well beyond $150,000. Having said that, it's estimated there are around about 60,000 people who may be eligible to come forward and seek compensation in the National Redress Scheme.
60,000.
60,000, I would say at least, and you could probably quite safely double that number on an educated guess. So it will suit quite a lot of people. The problem with exercising your civil rights is litigation is very, very expensive, very, very risky, and it does take a very long time.
You're going through this process now, aren't you? How long have you been in the midst of it?
A couple of years now.
And it's still going.
And still going. And, you know, even if the institution that you're taking action against, even if they behave as a model litigant, it can still take a very, very long time.
These state premiers and chief ministers are
yep.
in Canberra today with the Prime Minister. They're talking about this. The Prime Minister is urging all of them to sign up. So is the Catholic Church. Francis Sullivan, the chief executive of the Truth, Justice and Healing Commission for the Catholics, is urging all the states to opt in. We heard the Premier of South Australia, Jay Weatherall, said, look, they've already got their state system, but, you
yep.
know, they'll join. How, as someone so deeply personally involved in this, when you listen to states not signing in saying we've got more questions, we want more detail, is that frustrating? Do you just want them to put their hand up and say, yeah, we're in?
It is frustrating, personally frustrating. I wish they'd just get on with it because there are many people out there for whom this scheme will provide peace of mind and closure and they've been waiting far, far too long for it. Listening to Premier Weatherall this morning, I'm actually a bit optimistic. It sounded like a bit of sparring around the issues of federalism. And it also seems to me, having listened carefully to what the Premier had to say, that South Australia might be in a position where it's saying to the Commonwealth, apart from South Australian state employees, we're happy to have the state join up. Now, That's critically important because institutions such as the Catholic Church, and Francis Sullivan has been very clear and very positive about
an
this.
An early advocate for the redress.
Early advocate for it. He seems a fine man, I have to say. But for the Catholic Church, the problem for that institution is that they may be sued in multiple jurisdictions for the abuse of one particular victim. So they need the national scheme. So they have the opportunity under legislation, as it were, to tie these claims off on the basis that particular victims are happy to sign up. I'd be optimistic. The deadline's the 1st of July, but I wouldn't be surprised, and here I am being a real optimist, to hear something positive come out of the COAG meeting today, and I hope that actually happens.
And the Catholic Church was early to put up its hand and say, yes, be national because of that very issue, and we are in, and they're committing, they say it'll cost, I think, up to $1 billion for the church. Not all institutions yet have embraced the National Redress Scheme.
No, they haven't, but again, my reading of it is they'd be foolish not to. Before we can really move to forgiveness, we have to go through atonement. And the National Redress Scheme provides that that structure on a national level for reparations for wrongs to be provided to many, many of the survivors. And so institutions such as the Salvation Army, etc. If I were advising them, I'd be advising them to do what the Catholic Church is doing and to embrace it and support it.
James, just finally, you're sounding optimistic this morning, as you've noted. And already we understand that the key message from this apology is we believe you in the importance of that and the whole process of the Royal Commission. I'm just wondering if after these few years of the Royal Commission, which was set up by Julia Gillard, are you in contact with other victims? Are other people at this point, after these years of having their stories told, are they feeling hopeful and optimistic?
Feelings are mixed.
Of course they are.
Yeah. So there's really some anxiety around that. The issue, the Royal Commission having concluded that the issue, as it were, may fall back into the shadows. And I certainly hope that isn't the case. And that's why, for example, with the government thinking about the apology, I'd like to see them consider tying it to an important event which recurs every year in the calendar, and that's National Children's Week.
Yeah, that's a good idea. James Miller, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran. I really appreciate you.
It's a pleasure. Coming in. James Miller made a submission to the Royal Commission telling his story of abuse at the hands of Catholic priests back in the 70s in Newcastle. The school was St. Pius the 10th Catholic Secondary College in Newcastle. He's written that story in a book, the book of his life. It's called The Priest.